And we're holding on page Yudches in Gittin, about 12 lines from the top, still the middle of Ois Memvav. Still in the middle of talking about the list of remedies that the Gemara gives for various illnesses and conditions and whatnot. So again, we were going down through the body. The last one we talked about was something involving the spleen being bloated. So now the next thing is below that in the body. The Gemara says, L'rushchasa, if a person has hemorrhoids, Lacey Akika, he should first of all take Akika, or Rashi's gear says Akukia. Rashi describes it as a type of herb. The translation that Rashi gives is actually not a French word, it's actually an Aramaic word that the Gemara uses elsewhere for it, so I'm not sure if it's been identified. So that kind of grass, another possible translation of Akika might be acacia, as in wood from the acacia tree. Anyway, the ilva and aloe. Vaspircha, the third ingredient is aspircha, which is mercury. Umartecha, then you have the waste from silver. Rashi describes when you mine silver ore, and then you refine it, you put it in the kiln to refine it, then you end up with a kind of scummy stuff that comes to the top, and therefore that stuff is called martecha. The chumarta de pilon. The next thing is a chumarta, which is a small button shaped box or something of pilon. Rashi explains that pilon or filon actually is the name of a type of fragrant herb that they would use in those days for perfume. Rashi describes it as being similar in shape to grape leaves. The word philo comes from a Greek word that means a leaf. Like you have the name phyllis, and you have chlorophyll and other such words like that. So phyllon just means leaf, and apparently it was a particularly fragrant leaf that they used for perfume. Yeah, thank you. So a chumarta, so a button full of that. Shiyofa de chamimisa. Then the next thing is you need excrement from a chamimosa. Rashi gives two possibilities. It may mean from doves, or as Rebbe explained, that it means from chickens. Either way, the dung of the doves or the chickens. So you take all those ingredients together, the ninkat, and then you put it all together. You tie them up all together. The shachid kitna b'kaita. During the summertime, use worn out cotton clothing. Worn out cotton cloth, or is linen. So linen in the summer, linen being very lightweight, so that way it won't get, that way it'll protect it from the heat. It'll keep it cooler, or da'ama gufna besitva, and if it's during the winter time, then wrap it in cloth in a piece of cotton cloth, which will help keep it warmer. The idea is, in other words, basically you want to keep it at a fairly even temperature, and then the idea would be that you apply it to the area where the hemorrhoids are. The Eloi, if not, if a person can't get all those ingredients, so he tried and it didn't work, lishti shichra marka, then instead what he should do is drink very diluted beer. By the way, if there's nothing else, again, a lot of these remedies, we can't use these remedies nowadays, and we don't know what most of them mean, or even what the ingredients are, etc. If nothing else, though, you can get one thing out of this whole Gemara, is to have, to thank the Eibishter when you say Asher Yotzer, that nowadays we live in a time you don't need to. A person has this thing, for example, you need to gather together all these ingredients and figure out how to use them. You just go to the store and buy a tube of the stuff that they invented for it. So if nothing else, that's something you can get from this whole Gemara, is to realize how much better off we are. Onward. The shigroina. If a person is suffering from shigroina, which Rashi describes as a disease of the hips and the hips and the thighs, so it may be sciatica, maybe something similar, whatever. Anyway, lacy pasia demunini, he should take a keli full of small fish, v'nigandere, and roll it, shitin zimni ahomatachte, 60 times on one hip, v'shitin zimni ahomatachte, and 60 times on the other hip. With smirta, if a person is suffering from smirta, which is urinary stones, So you have kidney stones, and sometimes they can get further down into the urinary tract. And you have, for example, Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia how much the excruciating pain from it, that Rebbe would have those for years, and he was yelling so loudly that like it drowned out all the noise of all his animals and everything. Anyway, Nesi Tras Nitrufiosa Mishcha de Kufra. The first thing is you take 3 drops of tar oil. Elsewhere in Shas, it's called Itron. It's similar to turpentine or kerosene or something like that. Or Tlasna Tuviasa Isra Dekarti. Then three drops of the squeezings of leeks. So you take leeks and squeeze out the juice from them, and that stuff is called Isra Dekarti, extract of leeks. Or Tlasna Tufiyasa de Chamrin Nakida, and 3 drops of clear wine, whereas we learned yesterday, Rashi had mentioned Chamrin Nakida means not red wine, but rather clear, a white wine of some kind. Anyway, you take all that mixture, you make a liquid concoction out of it, v'lishadilei, and then you inject it, l'ish ba'ama, if it's a man, then you inject it into his organ, or l'isha ba'isamakim, and for a woman, similarly, into that area. Either way, in other words, you're injecting it into the urinary tract, and the idea is, I guess, that this concoction should break up the stone. The Eloi, if not, if it didn't work, or you can't do that, l'isi unedizika, then instead, take the handle of a flask. A flask is a keli made out of leather or some similar material that they would use for storing liquids. You would have on the top of it, you had ear-shaped things that stick out that you would use. You'd use those to close the flask, and then you'd tie it shut. So you take the handle of that, the litler, the ishba'amu, the ishba'adin. If it's a man suffering from these urinary stones, then you hang it from his organ, and if it's a woman, you hang it from her breasts. Interesting that here it's from there rather than before. I don't know. I mean, it's the other one was, I guess, more of a naturalistic type of thing. This seems to be more of a skulladika type of thing. Which, by the way, you know, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, you have something called Darkei HaMurdi. You're not allowed to do superstitious practices, and a lot of these seem to be like that. However, the Gemara establishes over there kosher mishum refuah. Anything that you're doing that has curative value in by mishum Darkei HaMurdi, then there's no issue of Darkei HaMurdi with it. When you think about it, even nowadays with modern medicine, they don't know with all kinds of medicines how they work exactly. So the same way with these kinds of things, you don't know how they work, but they work, or at least they did in those times, and therefore you're allowed to use them, and it's not considered Darkei HaMurdi to do them. Next, the Gemara continues, v'iloi, if not, leisi chuta dizhurisa, get a thread of zahurisa usually means scarlet wool, like crimson, like telas shani. The shad say duma bas duma, where you want to find that this thread was spun by a woman who's choshud, whose mother was also choshud. She herself, this woman who spun it, is choshud on arayas, and her mother was that kind of person as well, and she spun this thread. And again, if it's a man, then hang it from his aver, and if it's a woman, hang it from her breasts. The Eloi, if not, Lacy Kinidazoho Dunakeva, take a louse from a man and a louse for a woman. It might also instead mean a male louse and a female louse, I don't know. Here you're back to, if it's a man, it's on that organ, and for a woman, you're back to, you hang it from oisimokim, from that part of the body rather than from her breasts. Now, after that, when the person is urinating, and Bapashas, we're talking about after any of these cures, after the person has been relieved from the stones, and now they can urinate again normally, which again is a real time for them to be saying Ashiyotza with quite a bit of kavana, and for that matter to us be saying it, knowing that we don't suffer from this kind of thing anyway. Nishtin Asisna Yaveshta, they should urinate on top of dry thorns, the tsinurta de dasha, at the socket of the door, like we learned about previously, that doors they had hinges in those times that would go into a socket in the top and bottom of the door. So you should do it davka over there, v'na'ayin b'chumauta d'nafkaminei, and then pay attention to the stone that actually comes out, d'malyo l'kulut simra. It's a very good remedy against various kinds of fevers. And somehow you can use it. So now the Gemara is going to give various kinds of fevers. It's not going to mention this particular thing, but apparently there are certain kinds of fevers for which you can use a bladder stone as an effective remedy for it. Okay, let's simra bara. If a person is suffering from an external fever, So now you have, there's a fever where the person's whole core body temperature is hot, and then you have like more of a superficial type fever, like where they're overheated or something, I guess, is what it means. Lacey, twas a greavy souffle, take three saw of date pit, or twas a greavy atrapadora, and three saw of leaves of the adder tree. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that the adder, whatever tree is a very long lasting and very important, very chosh of a tree that serves as a landmark. The Gemara connects it with adder b'amorim Hashem. So three saw of leaves from that tree. V'nishlokinu kochad l'chodeh, boil up each one of the ingredients separately. The lace of Benayhu, then the person should sit between the places where these things are cooking. The Lisvinu Batauti Meshikli, then he should pour the two concoctions into two basins. The Nesi Psura, then he should bring a table. The Nanach Ilave, put the bowls on the table. The nekum me'ilovi hai, and then he should stand above the one bowl. The lois of ilovi hai, he should sit above both of the basins of this cooked concoction. The lois of ilovi hai, and then again on the other ones, so go back and forth basically between one and the other. Ad nesef behevla, until the steam from the two cooked concoctions gets into him. In other words, that it has an effect. He starts feeling the effect of the steam on his body. The lischiminaihu, and then he should bathe in those waters, in those concoctions. V'chishosi, and when he drinks afterwards, mimaya de adra lishti, he should only. Now, the Gemara actually mentions in Shabbos that after a person has bathed in hot water, it's a good thing for him to also drink some hot water, see, in some water from that actual bathhouse itself. So the Gemara compares it to like when you're washing dishes or something. You don't just wash them on the outside; you need to wash them on the inside too. So the same way, you want him to wash on the inside as well. So now, when he's going to drink afterwards from these warm liquids, mimaya de adra lishti, he should only drink from the one where the adra leaves were boiled. Mimaya de sufli lo lishti, he shouldn't drink from the one where they boiled the date pits. Mishum de ma'akri, because drinking that kind of water can make him sterile, can make him infertile. So that's as far as external fever. Let's see more gavna, as far as internal fever, where the guy's core body temperature is too hot, I guess. Lacey shiva buna de silky mishev meshori. And she takes seven handfuls of beets that grew in seven different rows or seven different plots. You plant beets and some other vegetables like that. You don't plant whole fields of them necessarily. You plant them in individual plots. And those plots like that are called an Aramaic meshori. So seven of those. V'nishlokinu b'afarayu, cook them together with the dirt. Again, beets being a root, when you pull them out of the ground, a little dirt comes with them. So keep that dirt on them and cook it all together. V'nechol, and eat from it. V'nishtri atraf adora b'shichra, and then afterwards to drink. He should drink leaves of adra, again of the adra tree, mixed with beer. Or another possibility is that he can drink grape juice from grape, or wine that was made from grapes, from a grapevine that's supported by a palm tree, b'mayim, mixed with water. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions, by the way, that, first of all, we have a concept of kilayim, of course, but that applies only to grain or vegetables near grapes. You're perfectly allowed to have grapes planted near or even supported by fruit trees. There's no issue in that. But the Gemara mentions elsewhere, you can actually have sometimes the result is that fruit will actually give a certain flavor to the grapes. So here, when you have I guess the idea is a grapevine that's supported by a palm tree, it gets some of the flavor or some of the something of the palm, of the dates in it, and therefore that's what Gemara is saying is a good possible cure for this as well.
So you can be an end from such a thing, but you can't.
Actually. No, you can plant it. You can go take a grapevine and train it. Grapevines, if you don't train them on something, they lie flat all over the ground. You usually train them on. Usually put up a fence for them or some other things like that, a trellis or something. You can use a tree. You can perfectly lachila use a fruit tree as a trellis for a grapevine, and there's no problem with it in halacha. The Gemara just mentions, there's a Gemara that mentions someplace where one of the chachamim, I don't remember who, One time they brought him some, his oris, his sharecropper brought him some grapes from a vine that had, some wine, whatever, that was made from grapes that was trained on a palm tree like that. And the chacham tasted it and it tasted a little off. So he says, you know what, let's not have that palm tree anymore. It's obviously doing something to the grapes. It's ruining their flavor. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara goes on, l'chazazisa, if a person is suffering from chazazis, which in Hebrew is yalefes, it's mentioned among the mumim of koyanim and of animals, it's mentioned in the Toshacha, it's some kind of skin eruption. In particular, often it means one, which is very difficult to cure. Rashi mentions in a couple of places, based on the Gemara, that it's moist on the outside and dry on the inside, under the skin. So it's very difficult to cure. Anyway, so here a person has that. He should take 7 fat wheat kernels, and burn them on a new shovel. Now, often they would a shovel is a metal tool, so it's a useful enough thing to be able to cook or roast and something on. So you use that, yeah. Then take the oil that comes out of these wheat kernels when they're being cooked like that, the nishuf, and rub it on the affected area. And the Gemara tells, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, Ovid Leila, who Ovid Kechavim, L'davar Acher, one time there was a goy who was suffering from Davar Acher, from Tzaras, and then Rav Shimi Ba'ashi did this very same cure for him, the Itzi, and sure enough it cured him. Tosfos actually brings up the point that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah mentions it's not so simple to do a refuah for a goy. Nowadays it may be a little different for a variety of reasons, but the Medina de Gemara, you're not necessarily supposed to be doing a cure for a goy unless he's a chassid or masalim, unless he's accepted the shev mitzvah from Nenoyach. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is basically he was doing it to practice on the guy. You know, a medical student needs people to practice on before he actually opens his practice. To hear if Shimi Ba'ashi is basically using him for that purpose. Another possibility, there may have been issues of Eva over here. He may have fakir. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi may have been a known, established doctor, and if he turns away goyish patients, then it's going to cause anti-Semitism. So there's a few possibilities. Fine. So that goes through the list of diseases and their remedies. So now the Gemara continues with other aspects of health advice. If a person was struck with a Persian spear, and the Persians used to take their spears and they would dip them in some kind of poison. It actually describes shemitzarfin, or when they're first, not just they would dip them in that after the fact, but when they're making the sword, and part of the process of making weapons, of making metal weapons, is you heat up the metal and you work it into shape, and then you quench it by putting it into water, and that cools it off and hardens it. They would quench it in some kind of poisonous liquid. So that way, the metal really absorbs the poison, and then even in long after, it'll still continue. So now, a person was struck with such a sword, says Shmuel, Michya Lechaya. There's no way he's going to survive. However, Abda Hochi Vahochi, meanwhile, will at least prolong his life a little bit. So meanwhile, Nispale Bisra Shmena Gumri Vacham Rachaya, at least give him fat meat roasted on the coals and undiluted wine, that won't cure him, but Efshar Rachaya Purta, that may allow him to live long enough, or Mafkid Abese, that'll have time to give last instructions to his household. The Gemara continues, Omer of Idi Ba'oven, Hayman de Bola Zibura, in the same way, if a person swallows a bee, or Zibura can mean a bee or a wasp or whatever, Michya Lechaya, again, he's not going to survive it. But meanwhile, at least to keep him alive for a little bit, give him a revius of strong vinegar to drink. Same thing, after the chaya perta, he may at least live long, a little longer, or mafkid the base, and he'll have the opportunity to give his last will to his household. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yisro ben Levi, Ocho b'sar shor b'lefes. If a person eats beef together with lefes, which lefes can mean turnips, or it can mean more generally liftan, and some kind of condiment that's usually eaten with meat, the lon b'lavana, and then he goes and sleeps in the moonlight, b'leila yudalad o'tesvav v'tkufas tamuz, on the night of the 14th or 15th of the month during tkufas tamuz, during the summertime, or maybe particularly during tamuz. Achazatu achilu, such a person is going to be seized by achilu, which the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines what achilu is. Tana, and we learn in a Brisa, Mama Malik Kresim, we call Dover, Achazat Rachidu, not just if he does this particular set, this particular list of things that we just said, also if a person overfills himself on any one kind of food, then also Achazat Rachidu, he's going to suffer from Achidu as well. Amar Papa, Achidu Matamri, and your Papa says, that means even if a person fills himself up too much with dates. Well, yeah, I mean, why would dates be any different than anything else? And the answer is Sakhdad Hamina, because you would have thought. However, Omar, we learn elsewhere in Shas, in Subas, Tamri Masaban, that dates have a lot of good qualities. They make you feel full, they nourish you, Umashachnan, and they warm up a person's body, Umashalshalan, and they help his bowels be loose, so he's not constipated, Umashran, and they strengthen a person. The loy mefankon, and they don't cause a person to develop finicky tastes. The person who lives off dates is not going to be prone to say, well, now you know what, I need more expensive foods, because dates are a very satisfying and nourishing food. So you would think they're so good for you, so maybe there's no problem filling up on them so much. Amalo, you would think not. Kamash malon, therefore, the papa wants you to know that nevertheless, even dates, as good as they are for you, you still don't overfill yourself on them. By the way, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Gemara mentions in Pesachim a few different reasons why when the Eidosh sent the Jewish people into Golos by Churban by his tradition, why did he pick Davka Bavel out of all the countries? And the Gemara gives several answers over there, and one of them is because dates grow plentifully in Bavel, and that way it's a cheap, very nourishing food, and therefore the Jewish people could spend less time there working for a living and have more time to learn Torah. So that fits very well also with this description over here that the Gemara is saying, that because dates are so good for you, therefore they wish to put the Jewish people in a place where they can live off dates for quite some time, and it's nourishing and warming and so on and so forth. My achilu, so what is this achilu? Am Rav Elazar, eish shalat somes. Means a fire in the bones. Well, my eish shalat somes, they weren't familiar with that term either. Am Rabaya, eish garmi. The same words, Eish Garmi, means fire in the bones, but it's in Aramaic. I guess it was one of those things that was better known in Aramaic than it was in Lashon Kodesh. Same way, you know, you have some diseases nowadays that are better known by their Latin names than their English ones, let's say. So it's some kind of fever. Someone feels some kind of fever in his bones or something, I guess. I don't know. My Asavase, what is the cure for it? Abaya says, before I tell you the cure, let me give you a preface. First of all, Omri Li A, my mother told me the following, and we have throughout Shas where Abaya quotes from his mother various kinds of health information. The Gemara mentions in Kiddushin it wasn't his actual mother. She passed away in childbirth. It was his foster mother. Anyway, so she tells me like this. Kulu shakyoni, whenever you're drinking something, whenever you have some kind of medicinal drink that a person is supposed to take, plus of a shivo tracer, some of them a person is supposed to take for 3 days straight, some 7 days, and some 12 days straight. V'hai, the following remedy that I'm going to give you for eish shalatza, for this achilu, keep on drinking ad demitasi until he's completely healed. Another difference between this and the cures for other kinds of things, kula shakyoni al libere kana, most kinds of medicinal drinks you should take on an empty stomach. V'hai, basa de ocho b'shossi, v'hai lo b'sakise, here, the person should take the following remedy for this eish shalatzamas, only after he ate and drank, v'hai lo b'sakise, and went to the bathroom, v'nafik, and came out, u'moshi yode, and washed his hands, only then should he take the following remedy. U'maisule, so then what you do is you bring him Una de shisa de tzlofchi, a fistful, a handful of shisa made out of lentils. Shisa is a concoction that the Gemara mentions in various places. It was made out of ground up lentil flour mixed in some kind of liquid. The Gemara mentions in some places some people would mix it with water, some people would mix it with vinegar, and the concoction was basically like a porridge of some consistency, and it was called shisa. So a handful of shisa made out of lentil flour, ubuna de chamra atika, and a handful of old wine, v'nigdalinu bahadi adadi, knead these two ingredients together, v'nechol, and then he should eat it, v'nichrich v'sizine, after that he should wrap himself up in a blanket, so he'll warm up his body, v'nigne, and then have him go, then maybe he should go to sleep, v'leka denoik me'ad dekoi v'nafshe, nobody should wake this person up until he wakes up on his own, because he needs to sleep it off and sweat it out, and then that's how he'll get rid of this eish shalatzamas, this achilu. The Gemara mentions, by the way, in Brachos, in connection where it says, v'yichal Moshe, that he also, he davened so fervently on behalf of the Jewish people that he contracted achilu.
Oh.
Yeah, whether they did this whole concoction to cure him, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say there. V'chikoi, when the person finally wakes up from his sleep. Probably not. I guess we would say how long could Moshe sleep? He was too busy to have that much time to sleep it off. I don't know. Anyway, V'chikoi, when he finally wakes up from his sleep, lishkele l'sindi d'mine, take away that blanket and get rid of it. The Eloi, and if not, hodu elavei, then the achilu will come back to him. Amalei Eliyahu l'Rab Nassan. Eliyahu Anovi says to Rab Nassan, Echol shli, we find in a few places in the Gemara where Rab Nassan sometimes met up with Eliyahu Anovi. So he tells him, Echol shlish, eat one third of your stomach's capacity, v'oshsei shlish, drink one third of your stomach's capacity, v'hanach shlish, and leave one third, unfilled one third. This way, if you get angry, Talmud Ami Luach, then you'll be completely full. Because when a person is angry, it is like his stomach itself feels full of anger. It's almost like his stomach shrinks or something. And therefore, so if he has eaten too much before that, then his stomach is likely to explode. So therefore, if he leaves room over there, then he's leaving himself that leeway. Bono over here points out, you know, you see, the Gemara is making the point over here that a person, overindulgence is always a problem, is always a problem for a person, and then you have, on the other hand, you see that here you have two chachamim who never tasted death. It was Rabbi Shulvan Levi Dapka was telling us that a person shouldn't overfill his stomach, and he, as we learned in Ksubas, he went into Gan Eden alive, and similarly you have Eliyahu Anovi is also went into, also is still alive now, and he's telling them nothing also to be careful about overeating. The bottom line is, in other words, overeating tends to harm a person's health and shorten his life. But Amnon mentions a similar concept in Hilchos Deis. The Gemara continues. Tani Rav Chiya, haroitzer shel yovel de'chole me'ayim. If a person wants to make sure that he won't get stomach aches, yehirogu b'tibul kayitz v'chora. He should be accustomed to dipping his food in vinegar or wine or bread and wine or whatever kayitz v'chora during the winter and during the summer. Also, says Reb Chiya, sudos chashana os chamimena, if you have a suda that you like very much, that you're enjoying it very much, mishoich yod chahimena, then pull yourself back from it. In other words, again, don't overindulge and don't eat all of it necessarily and fill yourself all up. Like we said before, leave room, but it also means prave escafia, you know what I mean? Not everything that's in front of you that you have to eat. It's good even that the Ravid actually mentions such a, like this, we're familiar with the Skafia, of course, from Chassidus. The Ravid actually mentions a similar point in one of his Sfarim. He says that instead of fasting, a full-fledged fast, do like that, a fast like that, a semi-fast like that, where you have a lot of good food in front of you, but you control yourself and only eat a certain reasonable amount of it, what's good for your health, that, he says, is better than any fast. The Gemara continues. If a person drinks white tilia Rashi describes as a poor quality of wine. So if a person drinks that, achazatu vitik, he's going to be seized by vitik. Rashi explains that vitik means weakness. The Aruch gives a different explanation of it. That means tuberculosis. There's an old medicalese word for tuberculosis, TB for short. Nowadays we have a shot for it, by Hashem. But anyway, back in the day, it was a very dangerous disease. There was an old medical term for it that they used like in the 16 or 1700s or something called phthisis or something like that. However, it's pronounced in Greek. And the Aruch says the word vitik over here in our Gemara actually derives from that. So a person drinks this kind of tilia wine, then this vitik is going to seize him. Amar Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, shittin minecham rahavu, there were 60 kinds of wine. Mal yedekulu sumcha rechasana, the best of all of them is a fragrant red wine. Gria dekulu, and the worst of them, tilia chivra, is this white tilia that we just mentioned. You know, we have now, it's coming, we're going to be making the Siddurim now, you know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, ideally you use red wine for the Dalet Kosis, because red is generally better quality than white, and because it represents the blood from Mitzrayim, and yeah. Omer of Yehuda, Haimad de Yosef Bitziporni Nissen Gabi Nura, if a person sits in the morning, Bitzafrone Nissen, in the mornings in Nissen time, Gabi Nura, by a fire, Vishayef Mishcha, and he rubs his skin with oil, as they often did in those days, the nothic for Yosef Bishimsha, and then he goes out and sits in the sun, achazatu vitik, then also that's going to cause him to be seized with vitik. Maybe because the idea is that in Nissan it's cold in the mornings, and then he sat by the fire, and then he's going outside, so he's going too much from extremes. Whatever it is, yeah. Tanarabonon, now the Gemara mentions, here's another thing that can cause vitik. Hik is dam v'shimish. If a person had blood left, and then he had relations with Shimish Mitasa, and he has relations with his wife, having like bonim viskin, then if his wife becomes pregnant from that beer, then the children are going to be viskin. They're going to suffer from this vitik. Hikizu shnei, that was if one of them, hikizu shneim b'shimshu, if both the husband and the wife had blood let, and then they had relations, and then they conceive a child, having lo bonim bali rasan, then they're going to have children who are susceptible to rasan, which as we learned in Ksubas, is a disease, we talked about it there, it involves a skin ailment, it involves a person has a runny nose, and runny eyes, and flies following him all over the place, and there's a bug in his brain, so all of that, person is susceptible to that, the Gemara is saying, because of this. However, Omar Apopala, Amorin, El Latoy Midi, that would apply only if they didn't taste something after they had the blood let, before they had relations. El Latoy Midi, but if they tasted something, let's run blood, there's no problem with it. Same principle as, you know, nowadays you go to one of these places where they give blood and afterwards they have mazonis and orange juice for you. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabba Baravona, here's another one, Bamin Aderach Shimish Mitasei. If a person just came home from a journey and right away has relations, and there's a footnote over here that says that there's another girsa b'tzarayim, specifically in the middle of the day, having like bonim viskin, then again his children, if they conceive children from that, are going to have this vitik. Tananabonon, another thing that a person shouldn't do right before they have relations, abomibesakise, a person came from the bathroom, al yishamash mitose, al yishashir katsi mil. They shouldn't have relations until they wait the amount of time that it takes to walk a half a mil. A mil, you have the different opinions of the poskim, anywhere between 18 and 24 minutes, so a half of that would be between 9 and 12 minutes. Because the shed of the bathroom comes along with him, and therefore it's gonna get involved over there, the im shimish. And if he does do that within the amount of time, having let bonim nifim, then the children are gonna be prone to epilepsy. Whether we do that nowadays, I'm not sure. I think this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, but on the other hand, you know, nowadays our bathrooms are considerably different than the ones that were in those times. In fact, there are possibilities in halacha that our bathrooms may not even be considered a beis hakiseh of the type that the Gemara talks about, because the waste is flushed down right away. It doesn't sit there like in the old style beis hakiseh. So yeah. If a person has relations standing, then he's going to be seized by cramps. And if they do it sitting, then he's going to be struck by delaria. Now the Gemara doesn't define what delaria is, and in fact, in a couple of lines, the Gemara asks, what is delaria? And instead of giving the definition, the Gemara gives the cure for it. So the Aruch explains that delaria is chronic yawning, that the person keeps on yawning and can't stop. He milamayla v'hu milamata, if the wife is on top and he's on bottom, a chazata delaria, then also they're also going to be suffering from delaria. Actually, there's different gears over here on the side, that the first one is alaria and the second one is delaria. So somewhat different things. My delaria, so what is delaria? Oh, so instead of defining it, the Gemara gives the cure for it. Omer Rabbi Shimon Levi, sam delaria dardera. The cure, the medicine for delaria is dardera. Well, my dardera, what is that? Omer Rabbi, murika de choifi. It means a saffron that grows among thorns. Murika is one of the Aramaic words for saffron. The Gemara Rashi brings over here, there are two different words over here, there are two different words for saffron in Aramaic, kurtumi and murika. So murika de choichi, actually Rashi explains, rather choichi means that it grows on land that was fertilized with sheep droppings. But choichi would usually mean thorns. So Rashi also mentions something over here about murika de choichi, which would mean saffron that grows among thorns. So Gemara says, Rapapa olisu volale, when Rapapa was suffering from this delaria, then he would chew this stuff, this saffron, or bolale, and swallow it. Rapapi olisu shodile, on the other hand, Rapapi would chew it, but then spit it out. And the Gemara continues another one. I'm going to buy a Misha Eini Baki V'Derech Eretz. Somebody who is not familiar with Derech Eretz, which Derech Eretz is one of the words the Gemara sometimes uses as a euphemism for Tashmish. So here it means that actually says She'ein L'Koyach L'Shamish. He doesn't have what's called in Halacha Gvuras Anoshim. So yeah, you should take three kapizi. A kapiza is a measurement mentioned elsewhere in Shas, which is three revias. So three times that, so nine revias. Kurtame de choichi of saffron that grew among thorns. So the earlier one, Rashi explained that kurtame de choichi meant that it grew in land that was fertilized by sheep droppings. Here, Rashi explains that it means rather, or the other way around. The first one was it grows among thorns. The second one is that it's fertilized by sheep droppings. Anyway, v'nidukinu, grind up the saffron, v'nishlakinu v'chamra, cook them in wine, v'nishli, and then drink it. Amr Rabbi Yochanan says, you want to know how good this stuff is? Hein heinach zerusi v'narusi, this concoction restored me to my youth. It gave him back the gvuras anoshim that he was lacking before that. Which, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan lived to quite an old age. We learned to nazir a while back. He got so old that the chum were wondering, did he shave his armpits? A man is not allowed to. And the answer is it had fallen out from old age. So to hear Rabbi Yochanan saying that the stuff really works. All right. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogola. Your day is missing. You have the pasuk in Tillim referring to Mashiach. V'yerd mi yom ad yom, he'll rule from sea to sea, or mi nahar ad afse aretz, and from the river till the ends of the earth. So from the river to the sea, Mashiach will be ruling. Yeah. The Rebbe points out Nasicha, you know, that's what it means. It also means a person can't close himself up in his dal and amos and not worry about the world at large and say anias nafhi itzalti. I'm working on myself. I'm saving myself. And now he's going to be in the Eden in the place of Gilui Elokus. No, you have to have. There is a nahar that comes out from Eden, and a person has to get involved with that nahar and be working on kol olam kuloi ad afsei aretz. So it's not just for Mashiach, it's for every one of us individually. This kind of avodah, in fact, brings the v'yerd miyom ad yom, minahar ad afsei aretz, of Mashiach.
Does it mean reading the news?
Yeah. Does it mean what?
It does not mean that we have to read the news.
That we have to read the news, this is true. Yeah. This is true, but it does mean we need to work on the world around us and not just say, well, I'm a frum yid and my family are good and therefore I don't need to worry about anybody else. Yeah. Let's talk about some more dinim of Erev Pesach and Shabbos. So one big thing that has to be worked out is what you do as far as eating your chametz Shabbos morning and then you're going to have a Pesach tiksuda. Now, obviously, the best way would be, the thing is like this. You have two issues at play. You have at least two issues at play over here. You have to have Kiddush v'Makom Suda, and you have to have that where you make Hamotzi is where you bench. There are dinim in principle if you're going to another place from where you can see the original place and you had it in mind, it is allowed, but it's not really the best thing. The best thing is that you come to a certain place and you make hamotzi over there and that's where you bench. So now, you're going to be eating your Pesach dik meal and your Pesach dik dishes in your dining room. What are you going to do about the fact that you need to have your chametz? So obviously you have possibilities. You can use disposable plates, and then you don't have to worry about your Pesach dishes. You can make sure that your chametz you eat it away from the table and sweep up the crumbs afterwards. You have possibilities like that. If you can do that, matoy, then you're avoiding all the possible problems and variations. If not, then some possibilities include you can make kiddush. You can make kiddush in your dining room, drink a revius of wine there, that would grape juice, that way you yotze kiddush makom soda. Then what you can do is you'll go someplace else, whether it's your porch, although it's supposed to be raining on Shabbos, but whatever, you go someplace else in your house and eat your, and wash and eat your challah. Then afterwards, fine, you'll go back there later on to bench, but meanwhile at least you took care of the kiddush makom soda issue. As far as the benching issue, so one possibility also then is that you wash, you have your hamotzi, then you bench in that same place, and then after that you go back to your dining room and have your meal and just make regular before and after brachas as if you were eating the food separately. You can do that way also. You've been yotzi your Shabbos suda with your challah, but that way with your challah or pizza or what have you, but that way you're eating the food someplace else. So that's another possibility. One thing to keep in mind, by the way, is you're supposed to eat sitting, like Gemara mentions elsewhere, and benching also you're supposed to be sitting. So depending where you're going to have your challah, for example, somebody was talking to me about how they were thinking to have their challah in the hallway of their apartment building. So first of all, you got to make sure you have an eruv chatzeres. That's all another issue. But practically speaking, you're probably not going to schlep chairs out there. So for that reason alone, that may not be such a great idea. So these are the kinds of logistics that everybody needs to work out. But again, the ideal is don't just have everything in one place and just make sure, yes, Dr. Shaltinik Lafire. So if you have little kids, that may not be an option. But otherwise, as much as possible, try to do that and just make sure that the challah is wrapped up well. And afterwards, as we know, go flush the crumbs, sweep up and flush the crumbs and flush the crumbs down the toilet. Make sure you don't keep them wrapped in plastic, by the way. I actually saw a kokore from a community in Eretz Yisrael where that Rabbanim actually had to warn people not to flush their chametz because too many of them were doing it wrapped in plastic.
It was clogging the pipes, yeah.
So, have a little seichel as well, yeah. Let's talk about other dinim of Erev Pesach Shchalis B'Shabbos. So Tainis B'Chorim, as we know, was today. So this Shabbos, make sure not to cook food that's going to get too stuck to the pots. Because you can't wash the chametz tikka pots afterwards. So what you should do is then you wipe them clean. If you can't, then you would be allowed to wash them on Shabbos, but otherwise you should avoid. So therefore, if you're going to have chametz tikka food this Shabbos, aside from the challah, then make sure it's things that don't stick to the pot. You're done. You shake out your tablecloth. You wipe off everything. Put whatever pelim need to be put away together with the chametz ones. And if you have any bread left and you can't deal with it by flushing it, then give it to a goy. However, you do have to be careful. There are issues of hitzah involved. So, for example, you can't give him too much that of necessity. He's going to have to carry it off your property to eat it. It would have to be only a small amount that he could eat on the spot if he wanted to. Then, as a sweeping also, nowadays that everybody has paved or wooden or whatever floors, there's not the issues of sweeping like there were in those times when most people had dirt floors. So again, then you deal with that as well. Shabbos morning, we daven early. We have Shachris call here for 8 o'clock Shabbos morning, although some people are having misgivings and saying even that may be too late. So I don't know. In any case, we should tell the chazan, whichever shul you're davening, and tell the chazan to make it snappy. Yeah. As far as now, you have a question. What are you going to do as far as shalosh shodis? Now, for us, it's less of an issue because minhag chabad anyway is that we're not always careful to have bread by shalosh shodis. The Velt, who's more careful to have bread by Shalosh Shodis, you have a big question. What do you do here? Bread you can't eat Shabbos afternoon. Matzah you can't eat either. Erev Pesach, Medina de Gemara. So, what?
Banana.
So, there was the last time that Rebbe Fabreng on Erev Pesach, Shachalis for Shabbos, yeah, that I've had bananas and water for the Fabreng, and yeah. But that's one possibility. Is you eat payrus, if you eat meat or whatever, you have to be careful not to fill up. You still have the din that you can't eat after Shara Siddur, so as to have an appetite for the Seder. But other than that, I mean, in the Velt, some people eat egg matzah, some people, and then one possibility that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions over here is break your meal into two. Have your meal, then you bench, make a break, go take a walk, say Divrei Torah or whatever, and then come back and wash again and have another meal, and then you'll have shalosh, and that way you have shalosh shudas with bread.
This is also has to be before...
It has to be all before this man, it's true. Before Chatzos, it has to be before the end of the fourth hour, before 10:43, yeah. So yeah, usually shalosh shudas, usually the third shudah would be in the afternoon, but if you're going to do it this way, then yeah, you're doing them both in the morning, yeah.
Is wine allowed?
Is wine allowed? So it depends, actually. I'll tell you, the Gemara actually mentions that Rava used to drink wine on Erev Pesach because it would help stimulate his appetite. The Gemara talks about there's a difference whether you're drinking a little or a lot of wine. One, I don't remember which is which, actually, but one of them stimulates the appetite and the other one kills it. So other than that, the Medina de Gemara, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach or minhag is for an entire month beforehand. The minhag is also we don't have things that go into morer and morer and charoses on Erev Pesach. But other than that, I guess maybe you could say because wine goes into the charoses. I don't know. I don't think I've heard that there's any specific problem with that. I think it means just mainly the apples and walnuts and whatnot, those sorts of things. As far as wine, I mean, anyway, you're going to have wine for Kiddush, but, and again, you may have another revius of it to be Yotzi Kiddush Makom Soda, but yeah. Okay.
The Haftorah for the Shabbos is V'orvah. In the Velt, they do it every Erev Pesach Shachali, and every Shabbos HaGadol. The Vilna Gaon's meaning is actually the exact opposite of ours. That he has that you do it only when Shabbos HaGadol is not Erev Pesach. But and then Minhag Chabad is only when Shabbos HaGadol is Erev Pesach. The reason is because it mentions the pasuk about bringing the Meiser, bringing Meiser to the treasury in the Bais Mikdash from which they're going to distribute it to the Kohanim and Leviim. Now, you have the concept of Biur Maestris and Vidri Maestris, which takes place in the fourth year and the seventh year of Shemitah, and according to one opinion, I believe that Rambam says this, you do it on Erev Pesach. So therefore, so this Haftara has to do with Erev Pesach. It also, the fact that the Veltish Minhag is to do it on every Shabbos HaGadol is because it also talks about it's talking about the Gula Mitzvah Shlema, which is also very appropriate for before Pesach. Okay. One more thing, if you're making challah, the covered Shabbos, be very, very careful to find out whether they took challah before Shabbos. A regular Shabbos, chutzlar, if the din is, if you forgot to separate challah before Shabbos, you can set aside a piece and take challah out of that piece after Shabbos. Here, you can't do that. And you have big, big problems. So if your wife is making challah for Shabbos, then make sure to ask her whether she took challah from it.